I want you to know that I'm sensible about the morning that this is. I was greeted warmly by many this morning, Merry Christmas, and one greeting was, this is wonderful that we're worshiping on Christmas morning. Friends of ours were speaking and to us, and oh wow, you have a service on Christmas morning. How wonderful. And I left that warm greeting and just recollection of how this is a great thing we're doing here that we gather on Christmas morning. And I went to another interaction where it was, Merry Christmas, just so you know, you're between my kids and their Christmas presents. We all come with a variety of traditions, a variety of outlooks of how and when to worship God. And our traditions are fun to share what happens on Christmas morning. I grew up in a household where mom was intent on making sure she was a night owl, not a morning owl. And she wanted to be awake for when we had that time of opening gifts. And so what would happen so that we did not sneak down early is they would pile a whole bunch of boxes in front of the stairway. So there was no way for us to get down. And we knew that mom kept track of which box was where. So there was no way to get down. But part of the joy of the morning was once they got up, and boy, they took forever to brush their teeth and all that. There was the great joy of then kicking the boxes down the stairs. This morning, we're kicking open to hear the very word of God. We're letting all those things that get in our way tumble away so that we can hear what God has to say to us. And we're going to hear a passage that for many of us is very familiar, the passage of what took place that first day in Luke chapter 2. And this morning, as we hear that reading, we also have a part in it. So you're going to want to listen for your part. In other words, pay attention for your cue, for you have the part, I believe, of the angels this morning. So it'll be on the screen for you, so pay attention. Let's pray. O Lord, may you open your word to us. May your spirit break open our hearts that we might hear once again your good news to us. We pray this, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, okay, now, I'm sorry, wake up. The whole sky, you got to imagine this, is now, there was one angel talking, and suddenly when he finishes the speech, the rest of them just can't break it. I mean, they've been looking over their shoulders, everybody's been leaning, but at this point, let me in. They all break in, the sky is full, okay? And that's you, okay? And it's got to be more than, I haven't had my morning coffee yet. You've got to give it a little more, okay? So we're going to try that again, all right? Here we go. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, I think this is where God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary, she treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's an amazing day. Absolutely amazing day. It is the day that God sends His Son into the world. God's gift to us, Emmanuel, which means God with us. No longer is God far and away, some distant reality to people, or maybe a vision that shows up in a dream. Now God is with us. God has broken in and entered into the world. Jesus Christ is with us. God has given us the greatest gift of all. And because of that gift, we then now, as a tradition, all share gifts with one another at Christmas time. All in a reflection, a response, a mirroring what God has done for us. God has given us His Son, Jesus. Oh, and the packaging, well, that is quite different. I got to tell you, I'm not very good at wrapping. I try my best, but it always has a way of squirreling away from me. And then I'm really in trouble when I have those, you know, some of us buy wrapping paper that's all a bunch of straight lines. That is a nightmare for someone like me. Because you go to wrap it and you go to tie in the back end, and I don't know about you, but my lines never match up. Right? Putting a bow on, trying to make it look better. I can try to dress it up as best as I can. I can't make it look good. But God's wrapping is such that He wraps His child in swaddling cloths and then places him in a manger. Now, a manger is a nice word, and those of us more familiar with animal horticulture and all that, I mean, we're talking about a feeding trough. God's Son, God's gift to the world, was placed in a feeding trough. Why? Because there was no room for them. Why? Read between the lines. Likely because Mary, being pregnant with child, and Mary and Joseph not yet officially married, lots of talk, lots of family judgment perhaps, maybe not exactly as welcome. We don't know. but there was no room for them. Nowadays, we make room for someone who's pregnant. We get up from our seat, make sure they can have a seat. There's no room for them. No room for God's gift to the world. He was laid in a feeding trough. And God's irony, how soon he would feed all of us. Quite a moment, but I have to tell you, one of the things I'm fascinated about is who God decides to deliver the message to the shepherds. Doesn't that surprise you? To shepherds? I mean, many sermons have made a lot of this, that shepherds were kind of the lowest of the class. They just watched the sheep. There wasn't much to them. They were a little dirty, maybe a little coarse. Really? This is who the announcement goes to? Should we be surprised this message goes to shepherds? I don't know. Maybe if we go back through the pages, maybe if we look at it once again, maybe it's not such a surprise. We can filter all the way back and go to Jacob, who's later named Israel, and his 12 sons, and all his sons are out shepherding the flocks, and he wants to know how it's going. So he takes his youngest at the time, Joseph, and sends him on to go check on his older brothers, on all the shepherds. How you doing? That story didn't end well. The brothers saw the youngest, and they were jealous of him and decided they were going to kill him, but then decided that, no, they could make a better end of it. They could get rid of him and make money off it as well. And so they sell him into slavery with the Egyptians. That story doesn't seem to start very well. Shepherding. Shepherds, what, looking out for themselves and not their flocks? Or maybe we fast forward and get to the end of that story, move beyond Joseph and that whole being sold into slavery in Egypt, and yet it's all for the redemptive plan of God and bringing out a delivery for not just the Egyptians, but all people from the famine that would later hit. God had a plan. And the shepherds played a part in that plan. Fast forward a few hundred years, and suddenly you find that now those people, all the Israelites who had found themselves in Egypt and had lived there well, suddenly now are enslaved and having to make bricks and do all sorts of other things for the Egyptians. And they need a deliverer, and God brings a deliverer, a baby that he tucks away among the reeds on the Nile, and suddenly that baby, that Hebrew child, is raised within the very courts of Pharaoh. That young Moses sees all the royalty and has all the privileges. But he sees what's done to his people and he gets involved and ends up murdering an Egyptian and then runs for his own life and spends about an equal amount of time that he spent in the time in Egypt. In the halls of Pharaoh, he spends as a shepherd out in the wilderness, only to have one day him shepherding the sheep and seeing suddenly a bush that's burning, but that's not consumed. And in going over to it, in the curiosity, finds that he has a new calling to no longer shepherd sheep, but to shepherd God's people. Maybe we shouldn't be so surprised that that announcement came to shepherds. Fast forward a few more hundred years, and it's time to get a new king. King Saul is just the very first king that was chosen. Bad choice, no good. Time for a new king. Samuel, the prophet Samuel, is invested in the task to go find that new king and to anoint, and God sends him to the household of Jesse and says the king is one of his sons. And so Samuel sees the firstborn, tall, nice, young, strapping man, and says, "This must be the Lord's chosen." No, it's not him. And he goes down one by one through all the sons. No, it's not him. No, it's not him. Not him either. Nope. And he gets to the end. Nope, it's not him. And Samuel's kind of like, well, what's the joke here, God? That's it. And so then he suddenly says to Jesse, do you have any more sons? Well, yes. There's one more. The youngest, who's out watching the sheep, shepherding. You could keep going through. You could even go into the prophets. The prophet Amos came from shepherds. He was no great lineage to speak of, not from the halls of the palace or other prophets. No, he came from shepherds. He was a shepherd. So maybe we don't need to be as surprised that when the time comes to tell of God's greatest gift to all of mankind, that it's not being screamed in the temple, shouted in the courts of Jerusalem. No, rather it's in the hillside of Bethlehem, to the shepherds. One additional piece in that. Scholars often wonder and postulate that Bethlehem being south of Jerusalem, we'd think of it almost like a suburb of a major city in a way. South of Jerusalem, Jerusalem having the temple and the sacrificial system, that it is likely in Bethlehem that it was in that region that they likely took care of all the sheep that were used in that sacrificial system. And the sheep, of course, had to be without blemish. They had to be perfect. They had to be taken care of in every way. So in many ways, it is likely that these shepherds out watching the sheep, we don't hear them saying they're watching their sheep. We hear watching the sheep. It's possible that they're overseeing the very sheep for the sacrifices to God. And now, potentially, they get to oversee the very Lamb of God. Something to think about. I love the way Luke puts it. He puts it this way. There were shepherds, And in the region, in that same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And in that same region, proximity, there were shepherds, people, out in the field, place. Proximity, people, place, keeping watch, purpose, keeping watch over the flocks by night, time. Proximity, people, place, purpose, P, and then time at night. Keeping watch at night. Why do they do that? Why is it night? Is this the night shift? Yes. Remember going to a mission trip place in West Virginia, Gap Mills, Psalm 23 camp, and they had these giant sheepdogs. I mean, they're huge. And they were told, don't pet them, don't mess with them. And their whole purpose was watching the flock at night. They were the shepherds. They were mangy-looking dogs, huge and stuff, but they kept all the wolves and the coyotes away. At night, when darkness settles in, when danger comes closer, that was their job, to keep watch. They served that in-between moment, the moment between the days when the sheep were moving and feeding and eating, that night when they bed down, who keeps watch? They took care of the in-between moment. The shepherds stand in the moment that is between moments, and they keep watch. And it is in that in-between moment, in the darkness, in the difficulty of life, that God is breaking in. If you're here today and you've been struggling with life or struggling with difficulties or wondering when will it ever change, wondering if you'll ever get to a new place, you're stuck in that in-between moment, God breaks in. Because into the very darkness, suddenly the heavenly hosts shine. How does the gospel writer John put it? He puts it this way. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God breaks in into the very darkness of the night. In the midst of that in-between moment, in the watch, God breaks in with the delivery of His Son, Jesus, the gift to the world, our gift. The light shines in the darkness and has not overcome it. The time is in that in-between moment. God sees us even in between moments and is ready to come in and rescue us. This morning we gather to celebrate our rescue, our deliverance, that God sees us even when we're lost and in the darkness and in struggling and in fear and in danger. What does the angel say? Fear not. Fear not. For I bring you good news. Great news. And it's not just for this person or that person. It's for all people. There's no one here today for whom God did not come. And the angels couldn't help themselves. They just, after the one delivered the message, the rest of them broke in and just sang as you spoke out loudly, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for bringing your good news into the back corners of Bethlehem. That your good news breaks into our darkness. And now, O Lord, as you claim us, as you call upon us to call upon you as Lord and Savior, Jesus as our Savior, may each of us take on now the task of being under shepherds, underneath the great shepherd, the good shepherd. Help each of us realize now the message that we have to share. Just as the shepherds shared with Mary and Joseph and all those gathered around, and then later went off still telling of your good news, help us to share the good news that you have broken into this dark world and given us your Son, Jesus. May you be glorified in all ways. Amen. Wow, God's Savior, God's gift to us, our Savior, has been sent into the world. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours this day and forevermore. Amen.